5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program. Hey!
Hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program, Common Sense Conservatism, delivered by a mom. That is what we are at this program. We've got a lot to talk about today. We've got 25 different audio clips to share with you. Not one of them is Joe Biden. We're going to talk. Is there one? Part of one, Brock? Part of one. Fake news here. Sorry. I don't want to hear what he has to say. I want to tell you how we feel. And that is what you're going to get today. I'm not going to yell. We're not going to get angry. We got what we expected to get last night. We're going to talk about it because we have a mission to accomplish. And that involves all of us waking up and getting on board. So if this is where you get started, welcome. We're glad you're here. Come back, bring a friend. You're always welcome. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. One of my favorite things to do is to walk in my neighborhood at different times of the day, sometimes with Murphy, sometimes by myself, often by myself. And I don't listen to anything. I don't talk to anyone. I look around at my neighbors' homes. I listen to the sounds of the street and I smell the air. You know, you can smell the seasons. I like going out in the snow. When you can see the stars dancing in the sky. And when you walk outside, the crisp air tingles your nose and it hurts. And your eyes start to water. And you crunch down the snow. And it's silent. And then when it's spring, you can smell a difference in the air all of a sudden one day. The Cooper's hawks come back in February. And they nest in my neighbor's trees, and they have their babies, and then fly away before summer. And by the time summer is here, it's light so early, and I get to walk outside and see the sunrise, see it dance off of the clouds. And in the fall, the smell of the leaves falling off of the trees and the crunch as you walk by. This morning I was outside. And I heard gunshots. Pop, pop, pop. I was outside with Murphy. And he stopped and he looked at me. And then about 15 seconds later, pop, pop, pop. There was a shootout, apparently down the street from my house. And I would be lying to you right now if I told you that I'm not angry about it. The very people Joe Biden and the Democrats and a lot of Rhino Republicans tell you that they're fighting for, they have forgotten and abandoned and did this years ago. And it's just one cycle after another. A new group that they use, promise the sky to, and then trample with their disregard, their terrible policy and their greed. And this is the cycle, like the seasons that I enjoy as I walk outside with just my thoughts. And that's what we got last night. I couldn't watch it. I will be honest with you. I could not listen to any more lies. I could not see the anger one more time. I could not see a man who is a figment of his own imagination, whose entire political career was predicated on tragedy and using that tragedy to overcome his own ineptitude, corruption, flaws that are endless, as are all of ours. And what you see when you watch something like a State of the Union or times when Congress gets to discuss certain measures on the floor is people who don't get it. But I did this morning when I heard that second round of shots. And I realized something very strong. I love America the way I love my sons. In a very maternal, protective way. There are reasons why in a relationship, the woman often is the feared for the kids. You don't ever want to disappoint mom. Because she remembers. Because she cares that deeply. And I feel ashamed right now for this country. Is there hope? Sure. But right now, I think that we have to, like when you get slaughtered in a little league game, when the mercy rule can't be merciful enough, when you're just being beaten endlessly, that is how I feel. And we must. Every lie about the benefits of these last 3 years is nothing but an insult to your intelligence, to your common sense, and to your knowledge of your own family situation. But the disregard, the abject, obvious disregard for our veterans, I think America saw. I think you saw your choices. You didn't even have to turn on the volume. You could watch and you know what was happening. We are at war. And your dormance, your quiet, you're staying in the shadows. I hope you've used this time if you haven't gotten out in front of it. To really observe, to take those walks in your neighborhood, to hear what is being said, to see the effects of corruption and greed. I hope it stirs you. I hope it moves you. I hope you can taste it. I hope sometimes when you're all by yourself, your hands shake because you don't know when crazy is going to end. But it will. And we must never forget. I refuse to leave a legacy for my sons that involves an American dream that is lesser than I was told by bold parents as a little girl was limitless. But in this America today, you are told that mediocre is the new excellent. That everything should be seen through one set of eyes. And that if you don't comply, if you don't comport, if you don't do as you're told, you will be sorry. I am sad today. We're going to walk through the sound so you can decide for yourself what you think. I'm not going to waste any of the precious time I enjoy connecting with you of this program on Joe Biden or the things that he said. I do believe we need to listen to the responses to it. Let's listen to the young senator from Alabama who gave the GOP's response, who gave it as a mom. Because whether you're a parent or not, you came from parents. And you'll be able to understand the love of family that is connected. It is intertwined with, woven together with love of country. And I love this country to the point that it scares me. We'll walk through all of it, ladies and gentlemen, in the minutes ahead. We'll go through Katie Britt's sound. We'll talk a little media. We've got some news out of Pennsylvania as the one and only election lawsuit that Donald Trump is a part of has actually been settled after evidence was heard. Amazing how that works when the judicial system is allowed to operate. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have it all next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. You know that song is played because sometimes you got to get hit in the head and get out of that heartfelt space and just get down dirty, get down to business. You know, we got a lot to do. We got a lot to do. This is why I say so commonly on this program, if you are not taking care of yourself, please start today. Start. Look in the mirror and say, okay, I've put this off. I've made excuses. Because this war that we are in, and we can call it proverbial, but it's well beyond that. This war is real, and it requires you to be an active participant. So you're going to hear on this program, you're going to hear some media people chirping about, you know, Joe Biden, just really, what a tremendous job. What a leader. It is unfortunate that these people think that they haven't lost their credibility and that didn't happen years ago. You're going to hear some media people say, oh my gosh, that was a political speech. It was divisive. It was hateful. It was mean. He called out the Supreme Court. He said Donald Trump like 17 times without even saying his name. It was petty. It was weak. It was the sound of a man who knows he's walking into the final phases of a steep cognitive decline. And that was his Alamo. Period. Donald Trump was, I think, in front of the game here. He had put out yesterday on Truth his own rebuttal, if you will, to the State of the Union before anybody had the misfortune of hearing it and watching the theatrical performance of the sham that is our United States government. It was great to see Troy Nehls in the gallery wearing a star-spangled bow tie and a T-shirt with Donald Trump's mugshot on it, under which it said, never surrender. It was great to see Marjorie Taylor Greene wearing a T-shirt that said, say her name, that had a pin of Laken Riley's face and a MAGA hat on her head. This was Donald Trump's rebuttal. The honest that you already know because you feel it, you know it, and you breathe it every single day. Go.
Joe Biden is on the run from his record and lying like crazy to try and escape accountability for the horrific devastation he and his party have created, all the while they continue the very policies that are causing this horror show to go. We cannot take it any longer as a country. Joe Biden's sad excuse for a State of the Union address aside, here are the facts. When I left office, we gave Joe Biden the most secure border in U.S. history. We gave him Remain in Mexico, very tough to get, but I got it. safe third agreements, the asylum ban, Title 42, 571 miles of border wall, rapid deportations, and much more. We had the safest border in the history of our country. As soon as he got in, Crooked Joe and his radical left lunatics deliberately dismantled each and every one of those policies that were so good that gave us this best border. According to Tom Homan, according to Brandon Judd, the top people, they said it was the single best border we've ever had in recorded history. What's happened now is a horror show. The country, our country, is being laughed at all over the world. Over the past 3 years, Biden has actively aided and abetted the importation of millions and millions of illegal alien migrants and resettled them into your communities. At any time during the past 3 years, Crooked Joe Biden, and he is crooked as you can be and the most incompetent president we've ever had, could have called off the invasion. But to this day, he is keeping the hordes of illegal migrants and illegal aliens pouring into the country. By the time his term is up, we could have close to 20 million people in our country. And we have no idea from where they come. We have no idea who they are. They have no identification. Many come from mental institutions. Many come from prisons. They're terrorists. We have a calamity the likes of which we've never seen before. The very first bill Joe Biden sent to Congress was a plan to turn illegal aliens into voting citizens. That's just what we need. No matter what Crooked Joe says, his actions prove his priority is to import a colossal new illegal alien population and let them all stay. My priority is securing our border and sending Crooked Joe's illegals back home. Likewise, the sight of a feeble Joe Biden talking about shrinkflation, the term he uses, is one of the most ridiculous things this country has ever seen. Shrinkflation is just another way of saying inflation. It means that you're losing a lot of money because these people don't know what they're doing. It was all caused by Crooked Joe Biden and the people that surround him. And they are radical left Marxists and fascists and communists and socialists. We have people running our country, the likes of which we have never seen before. He and the communists and his party looted trillions of dollars from you and spent it on illegal aliens and the Green New Scam, triggering the highest inflation in many, many decades. If your packages are getting smaller, that's the reason why, under my leadership, there was no inflation. We had the greatest economy in the history of the world. It's time to tell Crooked Joe Biden, you're fired.
I agree. 3 minutes and 34 seconds. That is what you know. Ask yourself that very question. Ask yourself that. Ask whomever in your world is still living in a fantasy, who refuses to look in the mirror and turn on the lights and see who is looking back, who is too small of an individual to admit they blew it, that they believed something that was farcical from the beginning. It was predicated on a lie. It used fear to spread, and they freaking fell for it. It is one of the first steps of any addiction recovery process to admit that you have a problem. It is that wake-up call. So let's go 30,000 feet. Come with me. Take my hand. Let's watch how it all played out next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I think something that is very frustrating as a communicator. Yeah, I have a radio show. I talk to you 3 hours a day. I can't stand fake. I have a hard time with fake. I have a hard time with people who have ulterior motives. I can't stand phony baloney. And then when it's packaged as something that's supposed to be sincere, you don't have to be an emoter like I am. You don't have to walk around and feel things at super deep, visceral, freaky, scary levels to see the sock. And they don't care that you can see all of the tricks, all of the sleight of hands, all of the ridiculous things that they do, they don't care because they've gotten away with it for so long. And they, who's they? Well, Donald Trump just said Marxist, socialist, communist, progressive, right? All of these people on the left, but even more offensively, is the go along with everything Republicans. It's the mealy mouthed with wishy washy weaklings. I don't like weak. I have a hard time with weak. I can't handle pushovers, people who won't advocate for themselves, people who worry about what everybody else is doing or saying or thinks about them. This is not a time to be concerned about such things. Now is a time for conviction. Now is the time for that laser focus for someone who says, hey, take me or leave me, I don't care. And if I'm going to sit here and I'm going to vomit my heart to you, I will give you nothing less than real. And I think that's probably why Katie Britt's GOP response to Joe Biden last night, it stabbed me. And I want you to hear it coming up in just a second. So you decide. We just want the truth. We just want people to do what they say they're going to do. We don't want some back room deal. Right? Just be honest. Why can't people be honest? It makes it very difficult to be a parent because every force that comes at our children is for the negative. It's not about goodness and morality and God. I mean, that idea that no matter what kind of hellfire rains down on you, that there is a next chapter, that there is salvation, that there is hope, that there is something almighty that truly does love you unconditionally and believes that your only limitation is you. Now, I would have listened to that last night. I would have listened to somebody say, you are magic. You are unique. You are precious. And you need to know that. But we got yelled at. There were finger points, hollering and madness. It's so embarrassing. And it hurts, truly. It hurts when you see how far this country has slipped and how many people who've been in that Capitol complex for decades who probably never cared. Right? Here's some of the voices. ABC, Jonathan Carl. I mean, if there's somebody carrying the water, this dude's got the hose, he's got the bucket. He's tapped into the ocean. He's bringing it with him. It's so ludicrous. And you need to hear, this is your quote unquote legacy media lying, propagandizing, gaslighting, and treating you that you're like you're so dumb. You did not hear. You do not know. You do not feel. And this is what you get. Here you go.
John, it was very striking, taking on Donald Trump, but not by name. How many times did he say predecessor tonight?
Hey, look, this was a great night for Joe Biden, and this was much more a campaign speech than a State of the Union address. And you saw that in how he repeatedly took on Donald Trump. By my count, by our count, 16 times did he either say my predecessor, the former president, or other people. My age, referring to Donald Trump. Very direct attacks, the most powerful one, the very first one, when he comes out and he first invokes Ronald Reagan, who told the Russians, who told the Soviets, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And then he said, compared to Donald Trump, who tells Putin, do whatever the hell you want. Very pointed, the kind of campaign style speech you just never have seen in a State of the Union, but I think very effective.
Yeah, because there is no place for campaign speeches in the State of the Union. It's about the union. It's about us. It is about we the people. It is not about one person's candidacy. It is not about that. It is about we. Not me, we. There's a difference. And for Joe Biden or anybody else to be permanently obsessed with someone else so that they're constantly looking backwards, constantly looking over their shoulders, that's not forward thinking. That's not leadership. That's defensiveness, and that is weakness. And that is Joe Biden. And you don't need me to tell you that. I'm not going to sit here and lecture you and tell you that you don't already know this. But listen to the people who scratch their heads when the revenue comes out and it ain't there anymore. Why? Because you suck, Jonathan Carl. Jake Tapper, CNN, making excuses. Well, he's perhaps not as laser focused as usually, but you know, Joe Biden is pretty seasoned. Listen to this load of garbage.
His presentation, his enunciation, of course, is not as clear as it once was a decade or two ago. His mind did seem fairly sharp. He ad-libbed a response to a pretty harsh moment, some heckling about the tragic murder of UGA student Lincoln Riley. He got her name wrong. He called her Lincoln Riley, but as a general note, he condemned her murder, which was something that people were talking about.
Jake, stop making excuses, my man. You suck, too. This is what Biden said about Lincoln Riley. He doesn't know the name of the girl who was killed by a freaking illegal, allegedly, whose head was bashed in. He doesn't freaking know her name. This is why he doesn't care about East Palestine. This is why he doesn't care about Hawaii. This is why he doesn't care about the Marines. This is why he doesn't care about you. Listen to Joe Biden. Is this the sound? Do we have it?
Lincoln. Oh. Lincoln Riley. Oh. An innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals?
Well, I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what the hell he was saying. He does not know her name. He does not care. None of them who support this overthrow of our country do. Now, the GOP response delivered by Katie Britt, the senator from Alabama, and she's in her kitchen, and she just starts, and I will tell you, watching this in the morning, before the sun rose, it killed me. And I want you to decide what you think. Audio soundbite number one. And she says, I think how I have felt and have told you I felt for a long time. Go.
And so tonight, the American family needs to have a tough conversation. Because the truth is, we're all worried about the future of our nation. The country we know and love seems to be slipping away, and it feels like the next generation will have fewer opportunities and less freedoms than we did. I worry my own children may not even get a shot at living their American dreams.
100% correct. Every day. 100% correct. And you don't have to have children at home to feel this way. Next, she says, this dream is not a dream anymore. Listen.
Right now, the American dream has turned into a nightmare for so many families. The true, unvarnished state of our union begins and ends with this. Our families are hurting. Our country can do better. And you don't have to look any further than the crisis at our southern border to see it.
We must do better. This is unacceptable. It is irrefutable. It is not open for conversation. Next, she continues and says, we all know that Joe Biden didn't just create this mess. He opened the door and put out the welcome mat.
President Biden inherited the most secure border of all time. But minutes after taking office, he suspended all deportations, he halted construction of the border wall, and he announced a plan to give amnesty to millions. We know that President Biden didn't just create this border crisis. He invited it with 94 executive actions in his first 100 days.
And this is the soundbite that brought me to my knees.
When I took office, I took a different approach. I traveled to the Del Rio sector of Texas. That's where I spoke to a woman who shared her story with me. She had been sex trafficked by the cartels starting at the age of 12. She told me not just that she was raped every day, but how many times a day she was raped. The cartels put her on a mattress in a shoebox of a room, and they sent men through that door over and over again for hours and hours on end. We wouldn't be okay with this happening in a third world country. This is the United States of America, and it is past time, in my opinion, that we start acting like it.
That is the nexus of my mind today. And that was preventable. Quick time out. We'll be right back on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Katie Britt, the senator from Alabama, delivering the response for the Republican Party after Joe Biden's State of the Union last night. I have two more sound bites, if I'm not mistaken, of hers. And in this one, I remember when I was doing a story as a reporter about addiction. And this was before fentanyl. And I did a story on a father who discovered his son dead from a heroin overdose. And he described to me how when he found his son's body, his eyes were still open. And that he would be haunted by that forever. And Katie Britt does a job here at the idea that the lingering wounds of ineptitude or purposeful destruction are painful and they are real for too many American families. Listen.
President Biden's border policies are a disgrace. This crisis is despicable. And the truth is, it is almost entirely preventable. From fentanyl poisonings to horrific murders, there are empty chairs tonight at kitchen tables just like this one because of President Biden's senseless border policies.
That's not drama. That is real. And in this final soundbite, she brings up Laken Riley and says, there is never any accountability. There is no responsibility taken by those people whose goal is to destroy us. Listen.
Just think about Laken Riley. In my neighboring state of Georgia, this beautiful 22-year-old nursing student went out on a jog one morning, but she never got the opportunity to return home. She was brutally murdered by one of the millions of illegal border crossers President Biden chose to release into our homeland. Y'all, as a mom, I can't quit thinking about this. I mean, this could have been my daughter. This could have been yours. And tonight, President Biden finally said her name. But he refused to take responsibility for his own actions. Mr. President, enough is enough. Innocent Americans are dying, and you only have yourself to blame. Fulfill your oath of office. Reverse your policies. End this crisis and stop the suffering.
It's not just the words. Because she destroys it. It's her breath. It is her eyes. It is that resolve when she looks into the camera and focuses as though she is looking directly at Joe Biden. And she says with resolve, "You did this, and we know it." That was the powerful takeaway, I think, last night. Delivered by a mom. I want you to hear this back and forth. This is CNN. This is kind of an interesting little clip. Because it's David Urban, who is CNN's senior political commentator. And he's the first voice you're going to hear. And it's interesting that CNN is even letting this happen because it's also controlled and scripted and propagandized. But David Urban is going to come out and basically say, Joe Biden is not uniting anybody with this. There is no bridge to, you know, healing of it. He's angry. He sounds angry. And then David Axelrod, who's like Obama's tight squeeze, his you know, whatever. David Axelrod talks about messages landing well. That's code for we never plan to be authentic. We just want to hear if our talking points are resonating and perhaps taking root with the people listening. Listen to both men go.
He seemed like Walt Kowalski. You talked about this earlier. He seemed like Walt Kowalski in Gran Torino screaming at kids, "Get off my lawn," like an old guy screaming at kids.
My guess is that when he got into the heart of his agenda, the things that you ridicule about the cost of food and, you know, price gouging and so on, I bet you that scored with a lot of people. I think that the populist economic agenda is a powerful, powerful thing for him. Look, there are parts of it. I'm not sure that the attacks all landed exactly. They may have landed well in that room for sure, and they landed well with base voters for sure. I'm not sure with those swing voters that they landed as well. But I do think that the agenda I also think that probably what doesn't land well is his proclamation that our economy is the envy of the world and that, you know, inflation and, you know, is under control.
The people who are there, whose job is to connect with you ostensibly in some capacity, to be able to listen to objectively what's being said and in real time on the fly dissect and give some kind of notable perspective, they're only worried about scoring points. They're only worried about messages landing. They're worried about the narrative, about pushing the narrative, about attracting the right voters. I'm worried about freaking America, David Axelrod. Quick timeout. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio program on deck next.